How many of you can remember the good times? How many of you say, remember them? I'm living in them right now. Man, that's the best it's ever been. But generally, we can look back at a time when things may not have been better, but we have great memories of them. And God does that here with Israel. God looks back at how it used to be. He remembers how it was before. And he notices and calls to their attention the decline. He calls to their attention how things have changed. You know, in our marriages, no doubt, we started with a spark that led to a flame, and then we stoked the coals for years. You know, it's we keep that fire going. But marriage changes, doesn't it? It's not the same as it was in the, you know, initial greeting and meeting. It changes. It takes on a different form. And the friendship, the bond, hopefully grows stronger. The love grows deeper. But the appearance of it is different. And so we recognize that same thing. Even in our walk, you know, we see somebody get saved and we see, man, initially they get saved. Well, they get so excited. They get in the Bible. They get to church. They don't miss a service. They don't miss a morning prayer. They're committed. They're devoted. Somehow along the way, it seems like that excitement kind of fades off. And, you know, we've got some who they have those sparks in their lives. They show up and they're real faithful for a few weeks, maybe a month, and then off they go again. And, you know, that's one of the dangers with such busy schedules. But we allow the world to tell us that our kids need to play sports on the weekends and tournaments on the weekends, and we need to go to the beach and the mountains and everywhere else. And y'all know I love the mountains, and the beach not bad either, but there's a time and there's a place. And, you know, someone told me yesterday, this week, said, well, you know, Sunday's my only day off. It's also the only day we have Sunday church. So I hear you. I understand what you're saying. You're tired, but if you're that tired that you can't show up for God, and what's that say? Where are our priorities? The problem here is a little different. But let's see what he says. Jeremiah, the second chapter, Jeremiah says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me. Saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem. Now, so we see two things. Number one, go. Don't just sit at home and preach it. Go out there. Go where the people are. That's what's important. We've got to go where they are. And then cry. And this cry, it's not a, you know, tears cry. It's a shout. It's hollering. It's preaching. But it's loud preaching. How many of you like loud preaching? Some people don't like loud preaching. But it's loud preaching. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord. Don't tell them you said it. You tell them I said it. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal. When thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Think about that. You know, the pursuit of love. They followed God through the Red Sea. They followed God into the desert, to the wilderness, the rocks and the sand and no water, but they just kept following. Now, some of them started complaining, oh, we should have died in Egypt. We should have gone back. But what did they do? They kept following. They kept going after that cloud, after that pillar of fire. They kept going. At any point, they could have quit, but they kept going. He said, you pursued me, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. When you were in love with me, when it was there was joy in your heart and there was a song in your heart and you were excited about singing about Jesus. Think about that. That makes an impression on people. When they come into a church and we sing with no enthusiasm and we sing with no joy, you know, they'll be shouting on the hills of glory. Shouting in a Baptist church? Yeah. Shouting over there, shouting. And I know some of you don't know all the songs, but we'll keep learning them. And I know I couldn't read half the words, but we'll keep learning them. But the enthusiasm and the joy and the excitement of going to church. Hey, it's time to go to church. Let's go to church. Boy, you should have been at my church yesterday. Should have heard what the preacher said. Ain't no telling. But that enthusiasm, that excitement about God, what is it that we could bring up that would get you excited to talk about? Would it be about some sport, or some competition, or politics? What could it be about? Could it maybe about your grandchildren? Remember they used to have that tag on the front of the cars? Ask me about my grandchildren. Right? What is it about our children, about our spouse? What is it that gets us excited? Well, it ought to be when we talk about God, we ought to get excited. I remember, he says, I remember the good times. I remember when it mattered. I remember when your faith was important to you. I remember when being with God's people was important to you. I remember when you would read the Bible and you didn't get bored and you didn't go to sleep. You just kept reading because it was so interesting and you just wanted to learn more and you wanted to learn not just the stories, but the principles and the standards and the application. And you got in it and you dug in it and you wanted to know it. I remember. God says, I remember. Verse 3, Israel was a holiness to the Lord. It mattered. The rules mattered. Holiness mattered. Righteousness mattered. The appearance of righteousness even. That people would see us and they would see that we're doing the right thing. That we wouldn't give them the impression that we were unfaithful to God. Israel was a holiness and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, the evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. When I fought for you because our relationship was so strong and it was fierce. I was loyal. You were loyal. Verse 4, hear ye the word, Lord, O house of Jacob, all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me that they are gone far from me, walked after vanity and are become vain? No doubt, in our relationships along the years, I shouldn't say no doubt, but likely, that maybe you looked at your spouse or maybe before you got married and you said, do you still love me? Why don't you pay attention to me anymore? Why don't you talk to me anymore? I don't know about you, but when I walk past my wife, I brush by her. I'm going to run into her, you know, softly when I walk past her. And she knows that. You know, the other night I walked around her and I didn't brush up against her. And she turned around, she said, are you okay? You know why? Because that says something to her when I brush up against her. And if I walk by and I don't, you know, rub, you know, across her, she wonders what's going on with that man. What did I do? Why are you mad at me? Did I do something wrong? You see what God's saying here? You didn't pray. You don't like coming to my house anymore. You know, kids become, they get a little older and they get friends and they get activities. They don't come to grandma's like they used to. Why don't you come around anymore? They don't come to mom and dad's house like they used to. Why don't you come around anymore? Why don't you call me? Why don't you check in with me? Why don't you just stop by? Have we gotten too big for God? Have we grown up too much for God? Is it no longer fun? Is it no longer exciting? What did I do? He says, did I do something wrong? That's what he said. What iniquity have your fathers found in me? What's wrong with me? Why did you choose another person? Why did you choose another God? Why did you go worship a piece of wood or a piece of stone? Why not me? He says, I remember. I remember when we used to be sweet. When spiritually we used to dance in the meadow, if you will. Now, you don't even talk to me. They've gone far from me. They left. Chased after vanity and have become vain. Verse 6, neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? I don't know if y'all do this or if you've done this, but do you call and check on your spouse? Those of you that are married, do you call and say or text them and say, hey, that's all, just hey. Or a little heart, one of those little things. Do that stuff. You wait sometimes and say, I'm going to see if he texts me. I'm going to see if he calls me first. God says, I didn't call you and nobody asked where I was. When I didn't come around, nobody missed me. Isn't that what he says in verse 6? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of deserts and the pits, through the land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt? Nobody missed me. I brought you to a plentiful country to eat fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my inheritance, my heritage an abomination. Where's the, you realize what you left? Hey, when you get home, guys, look at her and say, you realize what you got? Right? Ladies, y'all could try it too. You realize? Right? It reminds me of the man who was mayor. Y'all have heard this? The mayor was up there and his wife was next to him and he looked out in the crowd and he saw old Joe out there. Joe was the garbage man of the town. Well, he knew his wife had dated Joe in high school. And now he's the mayor and he's feeling pretty full of himself. And he said, hey, sweetheart. He said, isn't that your old boyfriend? I said, yeah. He said, well, where do you think you'd have been now? She said, I'd have been where I was and you'd have been the garbage man. He'd have been the mayor. You realize what you got? That's what she was saying. That's what he was saying and it backfired on him. God says, I brought you from Egypt where you were slaves. Brought you through the land that nobody wanted. Brought you here, and when you carry the grapes, they had to carry them on a staff between two men. And it's a beautiful land, lush. And I brought you here and chased out all the people and gave you their land. I gave it to you, and you've destroyed it. You've made it an abomination. You've not been grateful. You've not appreciated what God has done. And so let's stop there and ask ourselves, do I appreciate what God has done? When I stand before God, there will not be a single sin brought up. Isn't that incredible? How many of y'all think you've sinned more than one time? If there was one sin, if I sinned one time, I earned my spot in hell. But Jesus paid for all of my sin. Do we appreciate what he's done for us? Do we take care of what God's given us? What has God given us? He said, you've turned into an abomination. It's my heritage. What has God given us? Well, he's given us our salvation. He's given the Holy Spirit. He's given us his word. He's given us a church. He's given us a ministry. I don't just mean as a pastor. I mean he's given us a ministry, each one of us. And we ought to be vested as Christians. Share the word of God and praise the name of the Lord openly, publicly. And then he gets on the spiritual leaders in verse number 8. The priest said not, where is the Lord? Remember when Samson, you know, he went through all that, all of his activities, and then that final time, he finally gave up the secret. And he laid his head there in Delilah's lap. And she called the men forward and said, "Hey, he's asleep." And they cut his hair. And the Bible says that he got up and he shook himself as he had before. But what? He knew not that the Spirit had gone from him. That anointing, that power of God that was in his life to be a judge of Israel, a leader in Israel, was gone. He didn't even recognize it. The priests, he said, they didn't even recognize it. They don't even realize I'm not there. Isn't that tragic? When we can carry on church without the presence of God and not even miss Him. The priest said not, "Where is the Lord?" They that handle the law knew me not. Pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal. They got their message somewhere else. I heard of a preacher one time that got up to preach and he didn't sense the presence of God. And he told the song leader, he said, "Keep singing." And he just sat over there and prayed. They'd finish the song, he said, "Keep singing." He sat over there and prayed until what? Until he felt the power of God back in his life. Until he felt like he could come behind this sacred desk and open God's holy word and give the people what they need from heaven. Can we really have church and not even recognize God didn't show up? Tragically, it happens. They prophesied, "Well, God didn't give me a message, so I just went on the internet and found one. God didn't give me a message, so I just looked back." By the way, there's nothing wrong with using old notes, but it's still got to be God's word. It's still got to be God's direction. I mean, I'm always using somebody else's notes when I preach. Paul, Peter, Jesus, whoever it is, I'm using their notes. They prophesied by Baal. Why did they do that? Well, they said, "Well, what do the people want? Not what do they need, not what does God want, what do the people want?" And we start polling to find out what the sermon's going to be about, we're in trouble. And they walked after things that do not profit. Didn't profit them, didn't profit the people, and certainly didn't benefit God. God said, "I remember a time when it mattered. I remember when it used to be important to you. I remember when you were on schedule with your prayer and on schedule with your Bible study, and I remember when you were on schedule with, you know, keeping track of talking to people about the Lord. And when you went to church, you know, you were faithful. You wanted to be there. And you wouldn't let anything get in the way. You made it happen." Somebody would say, "Hey, you want to go do that?" "Oh, I got church that day." Verse 9, God says, "Wherefore I will yet plead with you. I will yet plead with you, and with your children's children will I plead." You know what God said? "I'm not giving up on this." You know it's hard? Some of you have been through it. Is when your husband or your wife gives up on the marriage and you're stuck there to just do your part and they're not doing their part. But you hang in there anyway. You know what God says? "I know you've given up. I know that the love is gone. I know the desire is gone, but God said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come home every day." God said, "I'm going to keep coming home, and I'm going to keep saying, will you love me? I'm going to keep saying, do you love me? I'm going to keep saying, I love you." God said, "I didn't quit just because you did. And your children, I'm going to love your children. And your children's children, I'm going to love them. And I'm going to beg them to be faithful." I will yet plead. God hasn't given up on you. Verse 12, "Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. They have walked away from a limitless, never-ending supply of exactly what they need for life. And they hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They hewed them out. They worked for it. They put effort into it. They formed empty idols. They get a piece of wood and they carve a little face and they go, oh, it's my God. They make a little calf out of gold and they say, oh, that's my God. They take some stone and chisel it out and set it up and they say, that's my God. Can't talk, can't hear, can't help, but I can look at it. They hewed out broken cisterns. You know what? Why it says it's broken? Because it won't hold water. And what do they need for life? Water. Jesus says, I am the living water. I will put that living water in you and it'll come springing, bubbling over. And you'll never thirst again. Look at what he says in verse number 17. Hast thou not procured this to thyself? That thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God when he led thee, by the way. You have procured this to yourself. You did this. You did this. Verse 19, by thine own wickedness. Verse number 20. Of old time I have broken thy yoke, burst thy bands, and thou saidst, I will not transgress. When upon every high hill, under every green tree, thou wanderest playing the harlot. Oh, you say you won't, but you do. Verse 21, yet I had planted thee a noble vine, a holy, a right seed. Look, there was no defect. You had it made. Then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine to me. God says, I don't even recognize you anymore. I don't even recognize you anymore. As much as I've tried to cleanse you, you keep going back to the filth. That's what he says in verse 22. Though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me. You can't just wash it off. You can't pretty it up for Sunday morning. You can't pretty it up for the Sabbath. I did everything for you. Verse 23, how canst thou say, I'm not polluted? I've not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley? Know what thou hast done? Thou art a swift dromedary traversing her ways, the wild animal used to the wilderness that snuffed up the wind at her pleasure. In her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month they shall find her. Addiction. And unfortunately, we've become addicted to so many things. We, of course, think about alcohol and drugs. But the truth is that when it comes to addiction, we addict ourselves to activities. TV shows. Music. Stop it. Food. We do. When these things run our lives, they ruin our lives. God says, you act like you don't see it. You don't see your sin. But you're full of flesh and you're full of sinfulness and you pursue sin with the same desire. You used to pursue me. You dedicate your time, your money, your effort to other things when you used to devote all that to me. He's talking to Israel, but he's hitting a nerve because the truth is we find many distractions, many devotions, many loyalties to give ourselves And then we give what's left over to God. Would you stand? Father, it's not our desire to be that way. And so we pray tonight that you will grip our hearts and cleanse our minds and our spirits. God, that you'll renew the vigor, the enthusiasm, the energy, the desire that we should pursue you through your word, through your church, and through prayer and praise, and through the silence, just being in your presence and just loving that you're there. God, help us to see your hand in our lives. We love you. We pray you'll dismiss us with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.